You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
All right, I got a couple of things to read you today. One of them's very short, one of them's kind of long for me, but anyhow. Dear Lord, here's a prayer. Dear Lord, so far today, Father, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, I haven't lost my temper, I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, Father, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help. Amen. All right, now listen close to this. This is called, I want to tell you what it's called. One day while walking down the street, a highly successful executive woman was tragically hit by a bus and she died. It's not a true story, guys. It's just, I'll tell the sad stuff later. Tragically hit by a bus and she died. Her soul arrived up in heaven where she was met at the pearly gates by St. Peter himself. Welcome to heaven, said St. Peter. Before you get settled in, though, it seems we have a problem. You see, strangely enough, we've never once had an executive make it this far and we're not really sure what to do with you. No problem, just let me in, said the woman. Well, I'd like to, but I have higher orders. What we're going to do is this. We're going to let you have a day in hell and a day in heaven, and then you can choose whichever one you want to spend an eternity in. Actually, I think I've made up my mind. I prefer to stay in heaven, said the woman. Sorry, we have rules. And with that, St. Peter put the executive on an elevator, and it went down, down, down to hell. The doors opened, and she found herself stepped out onto the putting green of a beautiful golf course. In the distance was a country club, and standing in front of her were all her friends, fellow executives that she had worked with. And they were all dressed in evening gowns and cheering for her. They ran up and kissed her on both cheeks. They talked about old times. They played an excellent round of golf and that night went to the country club where she enjoyed an excellent steak and lobster dinner. She met the devil, who was actually a really nice guy, kind of cute, and she had a great time telling jokes and dancing. She was having such a good time that before she knew it, it was time to leave. Everybody shook her hand, waved goodbye as she got on the elevator. The elevator went up, 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 opened back into the pearly gates and found St. Peter waiting for her. Now it's time to spend a day in heaven, she said. So she spent the next 24 hours lounging around on clouds and playing the harp and singing. She had a great time. Before she knew it, her 24 hours were up and St. Peter came and got her. And he said, so you've spent a day in hell and you've spent a day in heaven. Now you must choose your eternity. The woman paused for a second and then replied, well, I've never thought I'd say this. I mean, heaven has been really great and all, but I think I had a better time in hell. So St. Peter escorted the elevator, and again she went down, 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 back to hell. Where the doors of the elevator opened, she found herself standing in a desolate wasteland, covered in garbage and filth. She saw her friends were dressed in rags and were picking up the garbage and putting it in sacks. The devil came up to her and put his arm around her. She said, I don't understand, stammered the woman. Yesterday I was here, and there was a golf course and a country club, and we ate lobster and danced and had a great time. Now there is a wasteland of garbage, and all my friends look miserable. The devil looked at her and smiled. Yesterday, we were recruiting you. Today, you're staff. So, I don't think that's how it really happens, but be careful. All right, I've already had an interesting time this morning. The title of today's message is Out of Control. And almost purposely today, I didn't show up when I usually do. And it's interesting. I'm in the car outside, and my mobile phone rings, which... Jody was very, where's Richard? Where's Richard? You know why? Because he's out of control. I'm not here. So my cell phone rings and it's Juanita saying, are you coming? So Jody's watching so much, Juanita knows he's nervous. She calls me. Now, he really is out of control. He can't control whether I get here or not, right? Any more than we can control whether you get here or not. And what I'm going to talk to today, you know, if I ask most of the people in this room, I say, are you out of control or are you in control? You might say, well, I'm very much in control of my life. And before it's over, what I hope to show you is that everybody in this room is out of control. And I'm going to read you some passages, one in Matthew first, but let me read you a definition. The definition of control is an act or instance of controlling, also power or authority to guide or manage. skill in the use of a tool, instrument, technique, or artistic medium, the regulation of economic activity, especially by government directive, usually used in plural, price controls, that type of thing. It can mean power, or a person that controls an experiment in which the subjects are treated as in a parallel experiment, that kind of control. A device or mechanism was another one. An organization that directs the space flight, mission control, gives all these things. Then D is a personality or spirit believed to actuate the utterances or performance of a spiritualist medium. That was also being controlled by something. But we'll go with the one up here that talks about power or authority to guide or manage. Are you really in control of your life? Do you have the power and authority to guide and manage your life completely by yourself? And there are a lot of people that think they do. And one of the commentaries, watching all this JFK stuff, I saw one commentator get on the TV, and you know, they're talking about the Kennedys and all this stuff, and he said, you know, everybody says the Kennedys have everything, but he said there's one thing they don't have, and that's power over their own destiny, when they live and when they die. And there is a certain point where you think you're in control of everything. Sunday in church, the title of the message Sunday was Y2JFK, and we were talking about deadlines and timelines and lifetimes and that type of thing. And I had shared all these things. And at the end of the service, in the closing prayer, we meet in a school auditorium. And there's a McKinney Avenue outside. And the windows were open. And I mean, in the middle of this prayer, we hear this screeching sound. And these two kids had come too fast up the street, missed the curve, and sideswiped two cars. I mean, people are saying, man, how'd you time that part of the message? I'm like, it cost me $1,000, and the kids were a little scared, but it worked. But you know, it really highlighted the fact that you just don't know. And luckily, I'd gone a little long Sunday, so we weren't outside. But you don't have control. You really don't ultimately have control. But there's this thing about us, and one of the titles I was going to give this is Control Freak. There are some control freaks out there. Does anybody know a control freak? Raise your hand. Everybody who is that person, keep your hand up. I mean, there are people out there who have to have everything in their life under control. And I'm not one of those. I mean, and I'll take that back. People in the room go, yeah, we know you better than that. I probably am controlling in some ways, but there are people who are just freaked out about it that, you know, I almost like to play with. If you got a control freak in your life, you can have a lot of fun. And you just kind of change things in their life a little bit, and it just, oh my gosh, you know, it gets out of control for them. That sounds malicious, but it is fun. But you know these people. And guys, there is a point at which it runs out. You really, you know, people talk about controlling your children. You cannot control your children. You know, even if you could handcuff yourself to your kids and go with them everywhere, you still can't control your children. You cannot, and I thought about some of these categories, like marriage. We got a lot of response on that. I just say that word. People are like, rah, rah, all kind of sound. How many of you in this room are married? Raise your hand. Wow. How many of you, okay, keep your hand up. How many of you are married? How many of your spouse is in this room with you right now? Keep your hand up. All right, one or two. All right, and let me ask you a question. What's your husband or wife doing right now? Who are they with? Where are they? You don't know. Sit down. You don't need to go check right now. Just sit down. People are like, oh, it's time to think of it. Maybe I should go check. See, you can't control that. Now, I asked that question. We're laughing, but for a lot of people, that's not funny. Because you don't know where they are, and you have a lot of time in your life where you wonder where they are and what's going on. There's holes you're afraid to ask. If you ask, you're going to get the answer you don't want, or you just avoid it. And you're really out of control, and your spouse is out of control, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we try to keep our lives together. We try to stay healthy. We try to pay our bills. We try to stay employed. We try to keep all these things together. And we try to stay in control, but it's of our own lives. If you're listening at any point, listen right now. If you are doing everything in your power to be in control of your life by yourself, God loves you enough to stir up your life where you are no longer in control. And hopefully by the time we get through today, you'll see this. If you hold on to your life and you try to control your life, God is smart enough, wise enough, and frankly loves you enough to come along and say, you know what? It ain't going to happen. And we wonder why it is that disruptive things happen. And you say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? He says, if I don't let something get out of control in your life that causes you to reach out to me and let me control your life, this is going to go on. And it just doesn't work. And you look at people's lives and you say, well, I've got everything under control right now. That's a great thing if God is in control of the control of your life. But if he's not, you just better, get the bugs off the windshield as soon as you can, because you're about to run through some tough road. I mean, God cares enough. I sat with a guy yesterday for a couple of hours. I haven't seen him in 2 years. And this guy is, he talks to me about, and I kind of know where he's going to end up is what's so odd, probably the reason I spend time with him. I know where he's going to end up. It's a matter of whether he's going to go this way or the long way. And he's going the long way. And he talks to me, he says, I've got plans. I'm trying to plan out the next 2 years. And I've kind of gotten to the place where I cut the chase with people. I said, you know what? I love you enough to speak the truth in love. And I said, you are planning what? I said, let's look at the last 2 years of your plans. I said, do you feel any better now than you did 2 years ago? I said, what are you talking about planning the next 2 years? Find out what God wants you to do the next 2 years and forget the next 2 years. What are you going to do today? If you're not doing the right thing with your life today, how in the world do you think you're going to do it every day for the next 2 years? And he's making all these plans. Guys, I'm not saying don't plan for tomorrow, but sufficient for today are the evils thereof. I went yesterday, I got a call. We have a girl in our church. She's 31, terrible struggle with cancer since she was born almost. She finally had to amputate an arm, smiling girl for years. She's just out there. And yesterday I got a call. Went by there 2 or 3 nights ago to see her. Her family was there. She was gone. I mean, she was there, but she was gone. And it just wasn't her. And it was easier. Yesterday I got the call and she had died. You know what? She didn't have control over that. And I went into this apartment. There's this family. None of them have control over that. I'm going to tell you, the only person anywhere who has control over life and death is God. And the only person who made provision for conquering the last enemy, the worst enemy we have, death, is Jesus himself. And she will be buried Sunday, and she's gone. But I'm going to tell you what, she's more alive in some ways than any of us in this room. And I had an easier time going there yesterday, even though it seemed like it was out of control, because I knew her, I knew where she was, and it's just a tremendous relief. There's a lot of grief, but there's a lot of relief because you know where she is. But we can't control that stuff. JFK, I mean, I want to beat this thing to death, but guys, and people say, well, you're morbid, you bring up all this negative stuff. I'm just saying, live with reality. And I mentioned this Sunday, and I don't want to beat this to death, but you leave in the morning. If you are married, you're not married, you got kids, whatever your deal is, you got parents, whoever it is, you're not in control of this day. I don't know who's going to walk out of here and get back to work or not get back to work. You say, yeah, but I'm a great driver. I'm not worried about your driving. It's the other idiots out there. Great drivers get hit every day by drunk drivers. You say, well, that's not in God's plan for my life. I don't know. But are you ready one day at a time? And is he in control of your life so that no matter what happens, it's going to be okay? And I'm going to read you a couple of stories. And probably one of the greatest or the best examples of a control freak in the New Testament is Peter. And there is a scene here where in Matthew 16, it says, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. He starts talking about going to Jerusalem, that he's going to be killed, but be raised the third day. Well, Peter's like, no, you're not. I finally got in a club that I like, and you're the guy, and if you think you're checking out on us, buddy, you're wrong. And Peter realizes that things are about to get out of his control, where his little world is not. We got these little worlds we try to keep intact. We got to keep our house and a certain kind of car and all this, and then something disrupts it and it falls completely. Well, his world's about to fall apart. Then Peter took him aside. Now think about this. And when you read the Bible, don't just blow through it and say, well, I got, a verse read or a chapter read today, I guess I'm fine. Think about this stuff. Peter takes the God of the universe in the flesh, takes him aside, and starts to rebuke him. Peter gets in Jesus' face and says, look, buddy, let me tell you something. Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. We are not allowing this. And if you go back even in the garden when they come to arrest him, people are whipping out swords and plopping off ears, and everybody, if you read that deal, the guy lost an ear. He wasn't aiming for the ear. I mean, he was aiming for his head. I mean, they were ready to defend Jesus. They just didn't get it. But he says, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, he didn't turn and rebuke Peter, he rebuked him, but I think a little more gently than Peter had gone. He says, get behind me, Satan. And he didn't say it to Peter. He said it to Satan because he knew what was behind that. The enemy comes along in your life and mine and says, hey, what are you going to do? Man, you don't know what the answer to this is. You're out of control. Man, you better fix this. And he starts putting these thoughts in your mind, and what you do is say, I'm going to take control. And you can give God control of something in your life and within seconds take it back. And I think I mentioned this somewhere in the last few days about trying to show somebody something on the computer and they're driving that mouse thing. It's hard to keep your hands off. I mean, you want to, I'm going to show this person. Or if you've ever driven, I tell you what, I'm not crazy. I prefer to drive people around than be driven around. I got to trust you an awful lot. But I mean, for me to get in the back seat of a Suburban somewhere and go to sleep with somebody driving, I mean, you're going to have Jesus sitting next to you while you drive for me to do that. But see, if you're driving and you fall asleep, I'm dead with you. So I do like to be in control driving. I'll drive any length of time to do that. If you ever have ridden with somebody like me and they're not driving, man, they'll put a hole in the, you know, they're stomping, they're braking, you know, they're up on the floorboard and you see them moving and they're turning their body and, you know, you just want to blindfold them and say, I'll tell you when we're there. Two people can't drive a car at the same time, and you have these driver's ed cars. Have you ever seen a driver's ed car with two steering wheels and two? Man, I don't want to do that because you'd be fighting some guy and have a wreck doing that. Either you're in control or God's in control. And I'm telling you, if you are in control, you are out of control. And when he is in control, we feel out of control still because we're not in control. But you can never be any more in control than you are when he's in control. Now, what I said to this guy yesterday is this. I'm going to tell you why I believe we don't give him control. We do not trust him. You say, what do you mean? Yeah, I trust God. No, you don't. If I climb in the backseat of the car with you and you're driving and I'm sleeping, I have made a statement of trust. I say, I'm fine in this car. You're as good a driver as I can find. I'll be okay. This is as safe as I can get. I trust you. Saying, oh God, I trust you, and really trusting, you let it go and you let God do his thing. And some of you are saying the word. There are religious people all over the planet every day who say religious words, but they don't put action behind it. And their lives don't change as a result of really doing what they say, not just say what they say. I'm going to tell you, if you ever trust him and you ever really let go, there is a peace that comes on you. The great relief for me in this regard, I was raised where, you know, you had to make things happen. You ever get that feeling? Man, I'm going to have to close this deal. I got to make this thing happen. I've had some situations here lately where outgrowing the space we're in, have to go somewhere else. And used to be, I'd try to think of ways not really to manipulate, but I got to make this thing happen. I don't have to do anything but what God asked me to do, and the rest is his problem. I don't think you sit on your rear and, you know, pray man will fall from your light fixture or something. I mean, if God wants to do that, he can. He asks us to do certain things. But guys, there's a point where it's beyond your control, and you can pray. I talked to this guy I spent some time with yesterday, this morning. He called me back. His world kind of got spun a little bit yesterday, and he was still reeling from that. And he called me back. You know, he was still a little bit out of control, but realizing that there's nothing, you know, once you get confronted with this stuff, you say, well, I'm either going to do it or I'm not. And here this guy is trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to give God control? And I said to him, you don't trust him. You think if you give your life to God or you give this stuff to God, he's going to hose you around. And my contention is, if you ever will take the time to read this book and find out who God is, you'll discover that he can be trusted and that nobody wants better for you. There's nobody in this room that wants better for my three little girls than I do. And there are things that I give them because I love them. There are things that we withhold from them because I love them. There are times I hurt them. I discipline them. It's painful for them and me because I love them. But if they know I love them, I mean, I tell them, and I'll throw this out here for your sake too. I've told you this before. I sit them down. They're out of town with their mom for a few days at my in-laws, and I tell them this before I sat them both down with this JFK and all this going on. I looked both the ones that could hear me and understand it, Elizabeth and Victoria, and I said, always remember Daddy loves you. Because if I drive away, have a wreck, and I'm gone, you know what I want those girls to remember? That I loved them. And I tell them, always remember Daddy loves you. Whether you're good or bad, Daddy loves you. Because I can't control what they do. I can't control what happens to me. All right, let's go back over here and see what Jesus did. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. You're not thinking about God's plan. You're thinking about your plan. Then Jesus said to his disciples, now look at what follows this discourse with Peter. He says to all of his disciples, But listen, guys, if anyone desires to come after me, you want to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Everything that you hold on to and try to control, you will lose. And everything that you give over to God and lose, you will find. I sat in that apartment yesterday. I walked in. She had died in her apartment. She's laying there in this bed. The family's going around. If you've ever been in this kind of situation, it's interesting to say the least. They came from the funeral home, took her body out of there. And I got the family in there after that. I said, you know, that body of hers is as empty without her as this apartment is without her. That apartment was nothing. All that stuff, you know how much of her stuff she took with her? None of it. And I asked this guy yesterday, an aside here, I said, you know, what is it you're taking with you? You're planning all this stuff, you're making all these deals, you got this job, boom, boom, boom. What are you taking with you? I can tell you what she left behind, everything. But I tell you, the things that you do that impact somebody else's life, that's what you take with you. The things that are done for Christ's sake, in His name, and for His glory, that's the stuff you find on the other side. That's what you furnish your... He builds a house, you furnish it. All right, let me read you one other place, another passage out of Psalm 46. This is Psalm 46, the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song of Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. The earth starts moving, you're out of control. You're not in control. Though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, you're not in control when that happens. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Verse 10, Psalm 46:10. If you want to write this down, it's a good one to know. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And then verse 11 starts with this. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. If you will be still long enough to acknowledge and find out that He is God, and then in verse 11, that the Lord of hosts is with you. See, if you're doing this by yourself, you're in a heap of trouble. But if the God of the universe is in you and with you, you're going to be okay.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
I'm not telling you I want to get in a plane and die tragically. I think that'd be a little scary and a little bit terrifying. I'm going to tell you what, guys, if I walk out the door here and get hit by a car, it's like going from one room to the next. And if I die today, I know where I'm going. You say, well, that sounds pretty arrogant. Let me tell you something. It has nothing to do with me and what I've done. If I stand before God today and He says, why should I let you into my heaven? I'll say, I have no reason. You have no reason whatsoever to let me in. I've not been good enough. I've not performed enough. I have no reason to get into here. And I'll point over to His Son and say, He's my only reason. He lived, He died, He was buried and raised from the dead to pay my way. And one day somebody told me that heaven was a gift and could be received as that. And I said, thank you, and I took it. I'm showing up with my ticket that He bought and paid for. And He's the only reason I'm getting in. If you are in control of your life, you are out of control. But if God is in control of your life, you are in control. It's His control that you're in, though. And there's no better way to live The fear goes out the window. The uncertainties go out the window. I don't care how big your pension fund is. I don't care what your retirement, they can all go away. My God will supply all your needs. I'm not saying don't be wise, don't put some stuff back maybe, but you could put 20 years of supplies back and it'd run out, but he won't run out. Give him control of your life.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.